Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text Number 15, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Lord, You perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. O Lord, You perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Purport. The priests are certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities and the pure devotee does not want to see Him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy, and when the Lord is pleased, he can see Him face to face. The Lord is unseen even by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of His causeless mercy. All of them, therefore, wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukuta arjuna ato jijnana jnani cha bhartarshava. O best among Bharatas, Arjun, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the Absolute Truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious, sukritina, due to their inquiring about the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, He fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is Anya Vilashita Sunya. He has no motive behind His worship. He is not conducted by influence of Maya in the form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The Rituja, the priests at the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti, and because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruitive activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurundulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadabhayam Dadati Sam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Triyatadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today we are reading what the preacher said. Nabi, being the king, he was anxious to have a son. But generally, people in this world, they don't mind where they go after death, but they want to see that their family continues even after they go. I may die and go to hell, never mind, but my property, whom I have to give my property, and who will continue my family, is a natural thing in this world. Nowadays, that is also is eroded. Nowadays, people don't want children. Previously, because they have good wealth and prosperity, so they want somebody to inherit their property. Now, people are poor and they cannot maintain themselves, so they don't want the headache of children. Let's say nowadays everybody stops with one child or two children, like that. Previously, all families, they were having at least half a dozen children or more. Because they were God conscious, they were not thinking, how will I maintain them? God conscious people, they are not. God will maintain, I am not the maintainer. But when we become the maintainer, then naturally we plan like that, family planning. One child, two child. Now someone was telling us in Pushkar, we stayed in some ashram, and the ashram Swami, he was a friend of mine, so he invited us all to his ashram for breakfast and kirtan. So you are telling, now Muslims are going on producing children non-stop. They don't care. Go on, as many children Muslims generally they don't practice family planning. They say it is their law, it is their religion, which is actually correct. That's why Muslims are more daring, more aggressive, because they confine their sex life to reality. You have sex life and have children. If you don't want children, don't indulge in sex life. So the person will remain physically healthy and strong. The nature's laws, conservation of energy. If you waste the energy, you will be ill and weaker. If you conserve the energy, the body will cooperate. Your mind will be strong, your body will be strong. So, the Muslims, it looks like they have 6 children, 10 children, 3 wives, something like that. But still, in strength and health, they are better than Hindus, because Hindus, they come under the trap of the government. The government is giving incentives. Or if you follow family planning, if you undergo vasectomy or tubectomy, then woman doesn't want to have, so they undergo tubectomy. Their tubes are cut so that no eggs will flow into the uterus. So no children. Sex life may be there, but no children. Similarly, vasectomy. The vas is cut from where the sperms will come, so that no children. So people undergo all these things. The result is that mentally and physically they remain less strong and intelligent. Just like you have to water the tree, you have to nourish the body. Similarly, vitality comes from conservation of virya. So the point is, people nowadays, previously people were desiring children, many children. It is said also in one of the purports of Bhagavatam by Prabhupada, a woman likes to have dozens and dozens of children. The word stri means expansion in Sanskrit. They want to expand house, furniture, jewelry, children, and relatives. So that they don't have any spiritual understanding. They're talking about ordinary woman. So naturally, now devotees want to grow spiritually. They want to understand God. They want to serve God. They want to give God consciousness to others, and they want to write so many books. They want to build so many temples. They want to conduct so many festivals. So devotees are also into expansion, but that is not material expansion, because devotees are actually, there is no limit for spiritual expansion. Like a man may have 8 children, 10 children. But Prabhupada said, without the botheration of family, I have thousands and thousands of children, disciples. Whenever he used to write, my dear daughter, my dear son, Prabhupada used to write letters to his woman devotees, his male devotees. So without any Sukra method, without any seminal so children are born by seminal succession, and children are born by spiritual succession. In spiritual succession, there is nothing like limit or weakness, because it is all sanctioned by God. In spiritual life, like we are all looking for making more and more devotees. Devotees are too many, let us stop making devotees now. We are actually looking. If there are more devotees, start another center. Kavali. More devotees, start another center. Yeah, in Sulurbet. Like that, no? So devotees, because they are spiritual, for them there is no limitation. How will we maintain them? What will happen to me, my energy and my stamina? No. Because in spiritual life, there is no loss of energy. Simply, over year after year, you will become more powerful. Because when you practice bhakti, over a long period of time, Krishna will become favorable to you because you are able to stay in devotional service. It is difficult to stay in devotional service because our body has pushes and pulls. Generally people, they come to bhakti and then after some time they begin to lose interest, they begin to lose enthusiasm, and they say, now I am unable to tolerate my material desires, so I want to go out. Because if you suppress your material desires, they will blow up. But if you sincerely, prayerfully practice bhakti, Krishna understands what do you want. Let's say in spiritual life, there is what is called external and internal. External spiritual life means outside you are doing all the activities. But there is no sincerity inside. So you will be soon in trouble. But there is no sincerity. So how long you can restrain your agitated mind? How long you can suppress your material desires? They blow you up, no? Just like a aqueduct or you put a barrier, but the water is building up and it will throw out all the barriers because the water is overflowing. But in devotional service, you are absorbing your mind on Krishna, and by Krishna's grace, your spiritual channels will be awakened. If you are doing external bhakti, you are a hypocrite, and you others may think you are a devotee, but because you are not sincere, so Krishna will not give his mercy. The result is that you may make a show for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and again, because there is no test. There is no test in devotional service. So again, your real colors will come out. And you want to go away, go back to material relationships, you want to go back to marriage, and you want material comforts. If you are properly advancing spiritually, this will all be curtailed. If you are spiritually advancing, your thoughts don't go to your family, because you understand that I am a spirit soul. I have no relative in this world except Krishna and his devotees. They are, I belong to their family. Similarly, sense gratification and spiritual life, they don't go together. If you are advancing spiritual life, the natural consequence is that vairagya. The person attains, he has no false ego, he has no nothing like status and prestige, and like he doesn't care, because he is a simple, straightforward person. A devotee is not trying to make a show. Just he becomes simple. I am what I am. I don't have to show people that what I am not. See, I am such a big man. In ego, people do all these things. Their real life is something, they make a show of something else. It's called cheating, fraud. You know, somebody will come and make a show as a rich man, and he will try to collect money, believing that, you know, and then one day he will run away. So, previously, because people were little pious, so they were not worried about how will I take care of my children, because they have faith. Krishna will take care of my children. If they don't want children, they keep away from indulgence. That was the training. Nowadays, they are encouraging. They're simply ruining people's lives. You know, the doctors, the government, they are encouraging. You know, you have this petty, crazy sex enjoyment, and you avoid the consequences. Everybody knows it's a very trivial affair, and it will sap your body, but then the doctors are encouraging. Young people, they believe in what the doctors say, or the government is encouraging, go for family planning. Nobody is saying that you practice devotional services, spiritual life, then automatically there is family planning. So, the point is, King Nabhi, not only that he was desiring children, but he was praying and praying to the Lord for children. And that is also considered not very intelligent. So you are praying the Lord for children, not really bad. Because compared to praying the Lord for children and like sparrows and monkeys, you indulge in life and you want to avoid the consequences. Even the sparrows and monkeys, they don't avoid the consequences. So anyone who is an honest man, whatever he does, he is willing to face the consequences. I did this and I hold myself responsible for what I have done. So King Nabi is actually a wonderful person, because he is not producing children out of lust. Nicely, now the Lord Vishnu has appeared. Extraordinary thing. Lord is taking permission from Lord Vishnu. In scriptures, there is what is called Garbhadhan Sanskar. The people wonder, what is this Garbhadhan Sanskar is about? What is Garbhadhan Sanskar? Ramdas. What is Garbhadhan Sanskar? Garbhadhan preparing to preparing, not by accident or suddenly you produce a child, but you prepare. I want to have a nice child, for that I have to do like this, nothing haste or nothing passionate. Garbhadhan Sanskar. And Prabhupada goes on to say, taking permission from the Guru, like a man and woman are married, if they want to have a child, they will go to the Guru and take his permission. Can we have, now we are married, can we have children? So controlled. So you cannot see this kind of things nowadays, because Kali Yuga, our minds are all enfeebled. So our minds are simply ineffective. So people helplessly. So it all depends on Garbhadhan Sanskar, training the child from the birth. Otherwise, suddenly how can you control from the childhood? If you teach the children good habits, good discipline, suddenly you want to stop everything, then it's impossible. It is not possible. So this King Nabi is such a, let's say Nabi is not an ordinary person. Nabi is considered a very great king. This is directly taking the blessings of Vishnu. And when Vishnu is giving a child, how great that child will be. But still the priests are saying, like there are one or two stories, said, like we said, you go to a very rich man and ask him for a morsel of food. What is that? It is difficult to meet a very big man, and somehow you got an appointment to meet him. Sir, give me today's breakfast. This guy is crazy. Go to a big man, because it's not easy to get an appointment from him. Go to him and tell your, solve your problem completely. But he went. So this is like, you approach Vishnu. If you are intelligent, you know, I'm going to get old, I'm going to die, and I'll take birth again, and this world is full of suffering. Now, somehow, I'm getting an appointment with Vishnu. Then you have to say, then I don't want any more of this business. Because you don't know what is material happiness and what is spiritual happiness. So, we try to convince people. People are looking for happiness, but they don't know what it is. They are thinking sense gratification is happiness. Sense gratification is itching. Itching is not good. Itching is a disease. But people are thinking, oh, sense gratification, you want to enjoy this, enjoy that. That means your disease is going to grow. So, you will have an idea of happiness, when you understand the difference between body and soul, then you see all bodily demands as sickness. Sickness and weakness. If your tongue is gluttonous, if your tongue is desiring to eat this and that and that, so you're only a fool will think, oh, I'm having a great time, I'm enjoying my life. But actually, by overeating, by eating undesirable things, he has to pay the price later. Afterwards, all these odd eating habits will culminate in a very serious disease. Then he is forced to stop. Many times people say, at our age, when people offer nice food, our quota is over. People say, we talk among ourselves. When you cross 50 and 60, in temples, nicely they bring big plate. So quota is over. You cannot digest. People think it is austerity. Oh, Maharaj is eating only two. Quota is over. You cannot digest. So, because that is our capacity. Because you are supposed to eat in a regulated way that you don't know. And you have overeaten. The result is that the body systems have gone weaker. And now you cannot digest, you will become sick and uncomfortable. So, actually it's a fact. If you want to live healthy till the end of your life, you should live a very regulated, disciplined life. Now you may have capacity to enjoy. If you go to your capacity now, after that, you have to lock your mouth. No, you have to. You cannot eat. So I remember, like, we were eating four times a day, we were eating all this, that. Because it was available. That time we don't know, because we think we are able to digest. The quota is over. Then your digestive system is no longer fit, because you have overused. You know, like we say, beyond the limit. You can say, like, a cloth can hold, say, 10 kgs, say, and you put 50 kgs, what will happen? It tears away. It's gone. So similarly, Krishna says, yukta ahara viharasya. Yukta. Yukta means the English translation, optimum. Optimum, don't eat more, don't eat less. Don't sleep more, don't sleep less. Don't take sex as enjoyment and then completely ruin your life. And when you have sex desires, if you don't know spiritual life, then you cannot forcibly stop. The doctors have seen, suppose you don't have spiritual life and you try to stop sex, what will happen? You will break down. You become a neurotic patient, hysterical patient. Now many men and women are seen, because they are not married, but the desires are pushing them. They don't know how to regulate that. It's like steam. They don't know that. The result is that they cannot express their lusty ideas, and at the same time they are not married. The result is that breakdown. And to doctor, they will, doctor, so I have pain here, I have pain. They don't tell the real thing. But that they are ashamed to say, because they are not married. The result is that what is called hysteria. In woman it is called hysteria. And a woman behaves in a very odd way. and the doctors will recognize that is hysterical. Hysterical means our emotions are very unstable. Similarly, when men are affected by that, that's called nervous breakdown, their temper tantrum. They don't know when they will become angry, when they don't know when they go into depression, outburst, when they cry, when they laugh, because the body is not streamlined. So spiritual life is not a matter of option. Spiritual life is compulsory for human beings. It's called proper way of life, balanced life. If you don't have a spiritual life, you are going to run into many, many maladies, many, many problems. That's why when people become devotees, they grow very nicely. They are well behaved in the outside society. People have many psychiatric, many mental problems. He's a professor, but because he doesn't practice spiritual life, he shout and yell, and people think professor is, people brand them as characters. This man behaves like this. This man behaves like this. And you have to adjust. All these ministers or professors or parents, nowadays, everybody, they are called characters. Characters means their mind is not developed properly. Their vairya is not retained, or they don't practice spiritual life. So, just like a fruit will fall from the tree when it is very ripe. Or you can fell the fruit artificially, raw fruit. Suppose mango tree is there. When the mangoes become very ripe, and the papita will become very ripe, very nicely prepared, and it will fall. And you eat it and it is very tasty. Or prematurely, without letting it come to ripe stage, you fall it down, it doesn't give the taste. Similarly, why grown-up people, why they are not cool-headed, why they are not mature, why they are not responsible, why they are not in leadership position? Age is there, but their behavior, their intelligence and their practices, they have nothing to teach the younger generation. Nothing. They are with their own odd habits. Nothing to teach. So they neglect the children because they have nothing to tell them. They don't have that maturity. This is good, this is bad, they cannot say anything. But when a person practices spiritual life, you see the milestones in yourself. Because you are seeing what are the mental blocks, how over time you are getting over them, and you are becoming a better person, then you will be able to tell others, please, don't become a victim. This is not the right thing. Everything has to be reasoned out. Not that you indulge in malpractices and afterwards your mind is broken down. So it is very, very unfortunate that in India people are supposed to do all these things. Because West, they don't have the spiritual culture. But now India has nothing to offer to the West. Because India also has grown up their spirituality. So like beggars, like here Prabhupada also uses the word beggar. No? Because when you are not having inner happiness, dhanam dehi, rupam dehi, rupavati bharyam dehi, all outside, I want a beautiful woman, I have luxuries, properties, I want positions, hankering and hankering. There is a competition. Everybody is hankering, means competition. The result is that If you cannot legally get it, go to illegal means. Kill the other person, cheat the other person, and things like that. So without spiritual life, everything is a mess in human society. So here, although Nabi is going gradually, nothing is wrong about Nabi. He is nicely married, and he has a nice relationship with wife, and he is preparing for having a child, and he doesn't want a nonsense child, and he is praying to, he knows who is God, Vishnu. He is not going and getting cheated by these gullible, bogus sadhus. But everything is right. But still, because you are only materialistic, wife, family, children, orally, but that is not the business of life. That's what the priests are saying. You are doing such a big sacrifice, and you are getting the Supreme Lord to come before you, and what are you asking Him? You can actually attain immortality. You can actually attain unlimited bliss, but you are asking for a son, demanding more responsibilities. Your duties are there. Now give me a son, you have to train the son, you have to educate the son, and you have to take care of him, and that means your attention is diverted, because this King Nabi was a religious person, not a spiritual person. So we are neither spiritual nor religious. We are simply sinful persons. In Kali Yuga, people are sinful persons. At least people have to be religious people. And from there, you can go on. That's after becoming Brahmin, you will become a Vaishnava. Or after becoming a Grihastha, you will move on to become a Vanaprastha or a Sannyasi. Even in Grihastha life, you cannot live properly. How you are going to make a sannyas life? Not possible. Sannyas life means everything, you know, you have to do everything on time, discipline, practice, keep yourself in divine activities, godly activities. So the priests, they know that there are two purposes in the scriptures. One is material religion, and the other is spiritual religion. So the real goal of scriptures is love of God. That means 24 hours you practice activities of devotional service, and then you will be satisfied forever. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grandharasimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Hara Prabhupada ki, Harinam Sanketan ki.